This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome back for another edition of the Husker 24/7 Hoops Cast. I'm Mike Shaver, joined by Brian Christopherson here as we are heavily into Thanksgiving week, which there's no tradition quite like Nebraska basketball playing someone the day before Thanksgiving and then doing it again a couple days after. Now, they have had tournaments around Thanksgiving time as well, but at least when I was in school, Brian, it felt like there was always that Wednesday night game and you had to make a decision if you were going to go back. Well, I don't know how it was in Omaha, but if you know, with Columbus, the night before Thanksgiving was the big, everybody ends up at the same bar at like 11:30 and it's way past fire code, but somehow no one ever, you know, calls that in sort of thing. Like the night before Thanksgiving, Drinksgiving, you know, for those that celebrate, that was a big deal when I was in college. And so you had to make the choice. Like if you were going to stick around for the basketball game, you were going to get there pretty late. And then if you got there late enough, it's, you know, everyone else is so far gone. It's not even, can't even really have conversations at that point. You're just being dragged into, you know, someone that was on the football team telling you about the glory days type of thing. So, yeah, that's what Thanksgiving week largely was for me with Nebraska basketball as a student.
Usually, though, it was probably not a game of high intrigue. Would that be fair to say?
It was. It always felt like it was a random school out of Texas, like Lamar. Or, you know, like a UTSA or somebody like that, Incarnate Word, whatever. You know, it's a really interesting one this week.
Yeah, it is. We'll get into it. But Duquesne is not to be taken lightly, and they got a pretty good backcourt and some dudes who can get going. So kind of a, I don't know if you call it, it is a dangerous game, but I think not sneaky dangerous to Nebraska. I think they are fully aware that it's a tough team, and this is one they got to take care of business.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they went up to Sioux Falls to the Pentagon Center or to the Sanford Pentagon and took care of business up there and did it, you know, in a pretty fast manner. Once they got for the first 3 minutes of the game, Jordan Pope kind of took over for Oregon State. And then there was a little 5-point run from Sam Hoiberg that kind of sparked everything with a 3-pointer and then going in and getting 2 more points there. And basically Nebraska never looked back from that point in the first half. And whether it was Bryce Williams scoring across multiple levels, Rink Mast and Juwan Gary doing it on the boards and putting up points in the paint, Nebraska got, you know, contribution from 3-point land from a number of players as well. You didn't even really notice, but they didn't have to rely on Keisei Tominaga. It was a pretty quiet Keisei game. He had his, you know, usual transition 3-pointer to take the roof off the house. But other than that, you know, it reminded me, Brian, how deep this team can be. And on any given night, there could be a different player that steps up for Nebraska. And in this case, Bryce Williams, I think, poured in 25 points against Oregon State in that win on Saturday.
Do you think we get some credit for Bryce Williams' surge the last couple games? Remember, we brought him up a week ago, and we weren't down on him by any means. I don't want to make it seem like we were. We just said he hadn't scored a lot yet. And we were kind of curious what that was going to look like. And then 25 in that game and the game before that against Stony Brook.
Yep.
I'm struggling to remember, but that's okay because Fred Hoiberg was like asked us who was the team before
it was Stony Brook.
Oregon State. Yeah. So Stony Brook, he had 16 of his 17 in the second half. So, yeah, Bryce Williams, if you throw him into the mix as a 6'7", 6'8", guy who can, you know, on occasion have that night, or most nights at least, you know, be in double digits for you, that's looking pretty good as far as your scoring options and your depth and all that stuff. So that was good to see from a distance. It's funny, you, of course, you were at the game. I was up in Madison, Wisconsin, and you might be familiar with how they make you park like a mile and a half away from the stadium there in the media sure lot. And when I got out it's of the parking block. Garage, yeah, the parking garage, I looked at your update on the site and it was like 9-6 Oregon State or something. I was like, okay, maybe it's going to be a tussle here. We'll see. It's early. I get, you know, all the way, get my exercise. By the time I get to the box and I look again, they'd gone on like a, 37-8 run or something like that. And we were talking about how they're probably going to make the Elite Eight. So that was a productive, no one was saying that, but I'm exaggerating, but that was a productive walk for Husker basketball while I was getting my steps in.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of just turned it on, and it wasn't anything that was like, oh, they were just shooting out of their mind, or they were only playing in one type of way, or they're only forcing turnovers. I mean, it was kind of a little bit of everything. They were getting second chance points. They were pushing the tempo in transition. They were hitting shots from the outside. They were getting to the free throw line. They were scoring, you know, in the mid-range game at times. Like, one of the things that stood out to me in this game that has me kind of excited about Bryce Williams, and it's not that I think that he's going to be able to go score 25 a night in Big Ten play, but he's a three-level scorer, and Nebraska hasn't had a lot of those guys. Like, he has a mid-range jumper, and he's not afraid to pull up and take that shot if he gets a step or if he's open. He can go to the rim, and he can play at the rim. He can go get offensive rebounds and putbacks. And he can be there in the corner and shoot threes. He can also sort of play a little point forward and set things up for you that way too. And because you have all of these different options with him, it sort of enhances the versatility that you have with guys like Rink Mast and Juwan Gary, where, you know, you can have Bryce Williams trail down the middle and those two shoot out to the corner and for wide open 3-point looks. And so it's just the versatility of Gary and Williams, Rink Mast, combined with, you know, Tominaga and what he can sort of give you, allows Nebraska to be sort of dangerous in different ways than I was kind of expecting offensively, because I didn't really know what it was going to look like. And again, I'm not going to nominate Oregon State to be playing in any sort of meaningful postseason basketball in 23-24, but it's still good to see them go out and do this to a team. And for Nebraska, they saw Oregon State as the biggest team that was on their schedule to this point. And they put out some big front courts. And so it was like, all right, we had to go challenge ourselves in a different way. And they went and absolutely assaulted the offensive glass. Like, just at one point, Brian, they had 12 offensive rebounds, and Oregon State as a team had 16 total rebounds. And so it just felt like Nebraska was just, you know, even to the point where it's like, it was almost strategic misses. Like, okay, we've got two of our guys to one of their guys. We're going to let it fly here. If he misses it, Bryce or Rink is coming down with this ball. And so it just played really well for them. And it just never felt like Oregon State was able to change it over. I do want to say Jordan Pope was a really, really good basketball player. And I think it was important for Nebraska to take on somebody like that. I mean, he was a challenge for them to defend. He could make, you know, tough shots, open shots. He could move with the basketball. He could move without the basketball. Jordan Pope is probably on level with about any guard they're going to face this season. If you think that's an exaggeration, I'm telling you, put on the film from that game. That guy could play. I was thinking in the handshake line, Fred Hoiberg should be, you know, if you ever get tired in Corvallis sort of thing, because he could be a really fun player to see a team build around.
Well, I noticed afterwards you had some quotes from Wayne Tinkle, head coach of Oregon State. And I thought that was interesting what he said, just because I know OSU is not really good, but he's in a power conference and he sees really good competition. And you could give a better, setup of like what it was like or how he said it, but it seemed like he really thought Nebraska was pretty good. I mean, that's how his quote or two read when I was reading up in the box in Madison.
Yeah, I asked him, you know, if when he was watching on film, what he had seen of Nebraska and then seeing him in person, if that had lined up. And he said, for the most part, it did. But the thing that stood out is they thought they were fairly prepared and had played some pretty good, you know, veteran guards. Like, they thought they were prepared for what Jamarcus Lawrence and Sam Hoiberg and sort of the hounding that they were going to get. And he's just like, we got absolutely taken to the woodshed. I mean, we were outclassed. We were physically outclassed. They showed up and they played really well. And you could tell that he was, you know, pretty impressed by what Nebraska was able to do. I think this game, you know, it's really interesting, Brian. I didn't know this before. Probably could have done better research. But Wayne Tinkle had played in the Pentagon, you know, in the 70s. Like, he had played there in his career. This game meant a ton to him to be able to get Oregon State to go play in this place. And they were set to do it in the year of the COVID shutdown. So they had to scrap it, and then they end up in this one. And so he was super appreciative of the opportunity to play in that building because he wanted his team to be able to play in it. And then you could tell that he was pretty impressed by what he saw from Nebraska. I mean, he stopped short of also putting him in his Elite Eight, but you know, he was very complimentary of it. And certainly comes across as someone that seems like one of those genuinely good guys in college basketball.
Yeah. By the way, you're talking about the rebounds, looking at the stats again, it ended up 44-31 in favor of Nebraska. So they've just controlled that end of it in games where you would expect it. But this is a team in Oregon State that's got to play, you know, in a power conference and go up against teams like that. And so to beat them on the boards by 13 is pretty significant. The other guy that I asked Hoiberg about yesterday at the press conference is Juwan Gary. And I'm guessing you were going to lead us there at some point, but I'll just do it now. I mean, I think I saw a tweet from you that is similar to my thoughts with Gary. I believe I underestimated how important he was. Like, I knew he was important, don't get me wrong, but the level to which he is to this team is really jumping off the page just two games into his return.
Yeah, and there's a court intelligence savvy that he has. Like, he seems to know when to be in the corner. He seems to know when to get to the block. He plays good defense. I think he sort of feeds off the energy as the rest of the team does, but it seems like he really feeds off the energy of Josiah Alec. There's something there that I didn't really remember, I guess, from last year. And he didn't. Mm-hmm. You think about it, I think he only played 11 games for Nebraska last season or somewhere around that. It wasn't a ton, but they lost him so early, and Nebraska kind of was multiple different teams in their non-conference last season in the months of November and December, that I don't know that I really knew what he was. And now he's kind of a cheat code in some ways. I mean, you can use him to shoot threes. You can use him to play defense and use kind of his length. He's willing to get physical. He'll go inside. He can shoot free throws, so you can send him to the line. Like, he is a guy that is willing to kind of to do a little bit of everything. And you need guys like that. I don't know that he's going to have double-digit points off the bench every week, but you can tell that he comes in looking to score. It's not like, oh, I'm in here to enhance everybody else. I'm in here, and there's an opportunity. I'm in the corner. I'm going to let this thing fly. Or I've got the offensive rebound here. I'm going straight up with the putback. I got fouled. All right, three-point play. Like, he's someone who is aggressive almost in a lot of what he does, and it adds another element to a Nebraska team that can really play and space teams in ways that I don't know, Brian. I can't think of a lot of Nebraska teams in the past that have this sort of spacing component to it where you can really spread teams out. I mean, when you're talking about having all five guys as possibilities to shoot threes, the backdoor lanes that's opening up for Tominaga and some of the people when they cut, like, they are going to have some easy baskets because of their ability to draw defenders out to the perimeter.
Yeah, and he worked a lot on his shot while he was rehabbing. And Hoiberg always brings this up, how he's kind of straightened out his shot. He was tilting a little bit with it before the injury, and he went to the lab and You've seen it in early on that he can hit the outside shot. He had a couple his first game back from behind the arc. I think it was 5 of 10 from the field against Oregon State. The game I remember him for last year, and then the injury happened shortly after, was at Minnesota, where they pulled it off. I think it went to OT. You know, he had a big day on the glass and all that. But the challenge, even going back to last season, that Hoiberg always had for him was actually the defensive glass. He's always talked about how he's great on the offensive glass when it's just up there and go get it, go crash it. But he wanted him to improve on that end of the floor as far as securing the rebounds. And as he said on Monday at the press conference, he's come a long way in that too. So, with Gary as part of the lineup now, I just feel a lot better about things. I mean, the first game when we did a podcast after that one, we were pretty high on things. And then it was funny. The second week we were, I think, dipped a little bit. And now we're feeling a little bit better. So we'll see what this Duquesne brings to our spirits. But Juwan Gary's return is a big reason why I'm so optimistic in this week's edition of our podcast. Yeah.
You know what's remarkable, though, about what you're talking about there? Like, we were a little hesitant to kind of just be like, oh, yeah, Nebraska's played really well. And then you look at it, and it's like they're putting up 80 points in multiple games, and they hadn't really done that under Fred Hoiberg. Defensively, they're holding, you know, they're winning games by 20 points in some instances as well. They haven't done that a lot, whether, you know, they played bad teams in the past or good teams or what have you. It's nice to see a Nebraska organization that even when they're not playing great, they're still getting dominant wins. Like, this isn't, we have to kind of remember, like, this is the same program that lost its opener to Western Illinois, that, you know, Fred Hoiberg's first ever game at Nebraska, they lost to like UC Riverside or something. Right. So they, like, as bad as this schedule is at times, the fact Nebraska's come out and just dominated should make you feel better that they are able to kind of handle what's in front of them. And they're doing that in some cases on off nights. You know, it hasn't always looked like it did in the Pentagon, where they're able to just kind of throw it into the ocean and get points for it. So it's a good reminder that they've had to play different styles and the result has largely been the same. They're just straight dominating these teams, which is what you'd want to see. And it'll be interesting with Duquesne, which we'll get into in a little bit, if that changes or if they're able to kind of keep that streak going. Real quickly, want to finish up. We don't have to finish up. We can keep talking about this game too. But I do at least want to mention, Brian, I don't know that I've ever watched a player spend as much percentage of a basketball game on the ground as Josiah Alek does. Yeah. I think he had another 5 or 6 loose ball dives and everything else on Saturday. It's really fun to watch a big guy of all people kind of play that way. And, you know, he was among those after that game that was taking pictures with anybody and everybody that was there at the Pentagon. And he's been a fun part of this experience too. And it was a player that, I got to be honest, when they picked up in the portal, I'm like, okay, that's nice. Cool story. Wasn't sure, you know, exactly what you were going to get. Didn't think that he would have much of an offensive component to him, but he's another solid guy. And that effort and that hustle is contagious. I mean, we heard Hoiberg talk about it after the game on Saturday. He's talked about it multiple times. He really feels like the team pulls a lot of their energy off of the way that Josiah plays.
The joy of Josiah Alek and watching him play is really going to come forward like in the January, February, when that gym
slog
is full.
Season.
Yeah. When the gym is full at PBA and it's one of those games, you know, where it's a 2 or 4 point game with, you know, 8 minutes to go and he's on the floor calling a timeout, you know, wrestling the ball away from somebody and everybody gets, that's what he's going to bring to the table. And not just the final minutes. I think he's going to be the guy who in some of those games that are crucial, like early on as a tone setter, like he makes a hustle play in the first 5 minutes or something. It's like, this is the way we're going to play tonight. And guys feed off it. Cause you see a guy like sacrificing his body, willing to jump into the first row. And I think he's that type of guy. It makes your teammates say, okay, I got to do that too. Like I can't get shown up here. So it's a really good thing. And that's where him and Gary are nice compliments because, you know, Alek isn't he can shoot it. I think he can score it better than he has, and there's that belief that he can. But Gary maybe brings you a little bit more of that scoring punch, mm-hmm. and Alec brings you more of that X factor, you know, to a game where it's like the little stuff that doesn't necessarily show on the stat sheet.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the physical component of what Nebraska can bring in their front court is going to be tested, but also could be an advantage for them in Big Ten season, which is not something we've said a lot about Nebraska basketball. They tend to be more kind of guard or swingman oriented, and you got to have your scorers kind of pull it through, and the big men are in there to grab rebounds, and they can do that, but they can also put it up and get double doubles for you. I mean, I think Rink Mass is going to have quite a few, at least here in the non-conference. We'll see how that translates over when they get into conference play, and or at least those first two games in December. Anything else you want to touch on from Sioux Falls, Brian?
No, you hit it well, and I'm glad you were there for us. And I will say, I could tell it was just before the football game. Of course, people want to win that one badly, but the hoop score flashed up and it's going around on Twitter and all that stuff. And there's buzz about it. Like, you know, there's excitement. It's part of what's going on with Husker athletics and some sports where, you know, the women's soccer is doing well, volleyball is doing well, and you got the hoops team off to a 5-0 start for the first time since 08-09. And you could definitely feel like there was some like, all right, I think it was one of those games where it might have tipped a few people's heads over this way. They're like, I'm gonna look at this now and see what these guys are about. So maybe people who weren't watching, I think, are going to start paying a little more attention.
Yeah, and if Nebraska takes care of business and Creighton does the same, you could have a game in a couple of weeks that's going to feature some unbeaten teams and what you have to assume is a capacity crowd ready to roll between, you know, two programs and fan bases that don't always like each other, despite the fact they all root for the same football team.
Little jab there.
A little jab. All right, let's take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll dive into Duquesne, what Brian has learned from Fred Hoiberg as Nebraska prepares for this game on Wednesday. And then we're going to debut what I expect to be a staple and a fan favorite, Name That Random Husker. That'll come up here in the second half of this podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Brian, what did Fred Hoiberg have to say on Monday?
Well, Duquesne, who they're playing Wednesday night, they're dangerous.
They beat Rider a little bit, too, a team that Nebraska beat and a team that's expected to win its conference.
Rider isn't bad. They're one of those teams who I wouldn't be shocked if at the end of the year you're like, oh, they're like a 16 seed or something because they won their league. They beat them Duquesne beat them 77-58. They've got really good guard play. Duquesne does. They scored 90 against Charleston. They're Day-Day Grant and Jimmy Clark III are their guards, who are both preseason all-conference guys in the A-10. Day-Day Grant's averaging 20.2 points per game right now. So they've got guys who can fill it up in a hurry. So Nebraska's really going to have to guard those guys. I think this is going to be one of those games where you hope the length of Nebraska sort of pays some dividends and making some difficult shots. This is a game like we were talking about Bryce Williams earlier. I think he can be really impactful with his length. on the other end of the court, and Jamarcus Lawrence, who we haven't talked as much about, but he's a good defender. And I think this is a type of game where maybe he could step up and really get some things done for you. So, I expect this will be one where Nebraska is going to have to be a little crisper on offense than they have been in some of the first halves of the early games at PBA, and come out and kind of set that tone where, you know, you're getting good shots and you're knocking some down from beyond the arc, and you don't start like 2 of 15 or something like that.
Yeah. You know, Brian, we've seen throughout the early non-conference play here, different players have kind of had their game. Like, it felt like Sam Hoiberg was a big catalyst in that first game. Rink Mast has had a couple games now where it just felt, you could tell he could put the team a little bit on his back when they needed it offensively. Bryce Williams in Sioux Falls and Juwan Gary against Stony Brook. Is it possible for Nebraska, the first Keisei Tominaga game of the year could come on Wednesday night? You're playing probably the best team that you faced so far, and you're going to need to kind of fill it up. It might be a little bit sleepy in there on Wednesday with a crowd that thinking about the turkey ahead, and that's if they're even there. It's been kind of some light crowds here, obviously, with Nebraska playing some lesser teams in non-conference play. But do you think the big Keisei Tominaga game could be around the corner here to kick things off?
It's going to pop up soon. There's no question about it. You feel like he's been close on his shot, even when it hasn't been going down, which isn't surprising. So, you know, I do think it probably took him a little bit time to get to get some of the rust off after the ankle injury. And he might be to that point now where he climbs that hill. The other thing you got to remember about Keisei is that was a busy, busy summer for him. Like, I mean, he's got like so much for expectations with him in his home country and playing in that, playing at home and playing so much. So much basketball that he played. I know Hoiberg has often talked about, you know, being careful with his workload when he got back here, and then he suffers the injury. So you combine those two things, that's a bit of a challenge right off the bat to overcome. But I do think we're probably to that point where he's about to turn the corner. And the nice part is you can have that option where he can have that night where he goes off for 28. And you also have the type of team where if he's, other guys are going to get theirs, and you can survive. If he had, what do you have, 8 points on Saturday, I think, something like that.
Yeah, quiet 8 points. He had a nice assist to set up the dunk on a trailing Josiah Alec as well. And so, it was a quiet game, but like I said, he did the things that you sort of expect. He nails the transition 3-point, like the sort of thing where you see that they're getting him on the outlet, and you can just tell in his body language that ball is not getting any closer than 5 feet to the 3-point line, because he is pulling up, and you just know when he has that kind of rhythm that there's probably a 50% chance he's draining this thing, and he hits it. And you could tell it didn't even surprise him. And then the next opportunity, puts in the next 3-pointer. Then I think the alley-oop came, or not alley-oop, but the pass setting up the dunk came shortly thereafter. I mean, he sort of had a 6-point run himself, and then was kind of quiet, you know, did his usual defensive stuff. He continues to be a little bit of like the crafty YMCA defender. He pokes his hand in at the right time, undercuts a guy here or there, you know, reads something from a pass from across the court and gets in position. He's maybe not going to be the best on the ball defender out there for Nebraska, but he's a guy that is just going to be sort of annoying, I guess is how you can describe him. And he's kind of good in that role. But you can see where he flusters opponents a little bit with kind of his, you know, whole self, I guess, if you will.
Yeah. And as much as we get a kick out of Keisei as being the guy who will pump fake from like 30 feet on occasion and do all that stuff, I don't feel like he really forces it when it's not there very often. No. I mean, he'll check himself to see where the thermometer's at, you know, for him at that in certain moments in the game. But like you said, he had that assist on Saturday, and he's pretty good about sharing the basketball. And I think as his chemistry, in-game chemistry, continues to build with guys like Rink Mast, you're going to see him on some backdoor cuts and stuff like that, get some easier buckets that, you know, get you feeling good and open up, the scoring for him. because that was the thing that was so amazing about Kasey last year is he was like second or third in the league in field goal percentage, like inside the arc, which is very odd for his size and all that. But he's so good without the basketball at moving and getting those shots. So I think that's going to happen more and more, too, as we go forward.
Yeah, I agree with that entirely, and we'll see, you know, when we're back here doing this next week on Tuesday, if we have two games to break down, if we get the K-State breakout game for 23-24 here this week. All right, Brian, is it time, the debut of Name That Random Husker, Husker Hoops?
All right, let's do it. I'm going to test you. Go up, set it up.
Here's kind of what we're going to do. Brian's got a player. I have no idea who it is. It's someone throughout Nebraska basketball history. I'm guessing it's going to be at least within my lifetime, I would think.
Yes.
You know, it's going to be a lot harder if I got to go to the Mo Iba era or was it Joe Cipriano? Am I making up names now? Those were former
Nebraska coaches. No, you're not. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know anything about that. I came along in the golden run of the 90s and have mostly, you know, experienced the things that came after that. So I am very excited to see where this goes. Brian will give clues. If I don't have a guess, he'll move on to the next clue. If I use a guess and it's wrong, you get three strikes. Once you're three strikes, you're out. You know, that's how this works. We're mixing baseball with basketball here.
This is going to be similar to like when we have football history, Husker history discussions, I think, because everybody has a certain wheelhouse in their life. It's not that you don't follow it at other points, but there's certain things from certain eras, a lot of time when you're like 10 to 13 years old, it seems like, when you just remember stuff better. Yep. Everything was so big to you. So there, I'm glad that you include the 90s though in your Husker basketball knowledge, because that's like my wheelhouse of like, man, the old Danny Need days.
And but mine anyway is definitely the decade that follows. So it's when I'm going to be missing, it's probably going to be on some of these 90s guys.
All right, so here is your first clue. I think he hit the best. I would say it's by the greatest shot in modern Husker history. As far as just like being clutch and the moment that it set off. And that's a clue that seems like it should give it away, but I don't think it will.
No, because now I'm trying to remember various buzzer beaters or, you know, clutch type wins. And weirdly, the very first name that comes to mind is someone that I can't even imagine you picking. So I'm gonna have to need another clue. I can't go off of the first one here.
All right. The second clue would be, I'm 99% sure of this. You should probably be 100% sure before you give it as a clue, but I'm 99%. He played in the famous high school tournament in Indiana, like in one of those games that was like the most watched games of all time. He was in, and I'm going to say 97% sure actually of that. But the clue is enough that even if I'm slightly off, I'm giving you the state he's from.
So former player from Indiana that had a massive shot,
and he played in one of the most like watched, you know how Indiana basketball makes Hoosiers makes a big deal about the state title game and all that. He played in one of the more watched versions of that, I'm quite sure.
I'm now like I'm trying to remember states where guys are from. All right, I will have a guess off of the next clue, but I'm going to need another one.
Okay. I'm trying to think of one that can... I mean, I don't know. He's a guard, I'll tell you that. And he played in the NCAA tournament.
Taran Padaway? No, he's from Texas. He's not from Indiana, so that's strike one.
Do you want another clue? Do you want another clue?
No, not yet. So now I have to decide whether we're talking about from someone in the 90s, which it seems probably more likely than their last tournament team, which was 13-14, because to people making big shots in that season.
People need to never mind my typing. I'm double checking some things.
Okay.
Yeah, that would add up. I'm pretty sure.
All right. I've already missed one, so we'll go to the next one.
Okay.
He's a guard. He's from Indiana. Played in a major high school watch tournament game there, and he hit a humongous shot for Nebraska basketball that set some things off. There was the big three-pointer against Kansas, but I'm blanking on a name. Johnson? Close. What was that?
I just
don't know the first name. Is it like Jamar Johnson or something?
Jamar Johnson.
You got it. Yeah. All right. Look at that. That is definitely a little before where I would be, memorable and stuff. But that's a highlight. When you started it, that was one of the first shots that came to mind for me. But it was like one of those where I couldn't just come up with the name. I had to work through it a little bit. And then you give me Indiana and I say Taran Petaway because I'm an idiot.
Yeah, it was kind of cruel of me. And probably not as fun for you as me.
No, this is what this is though.
Jamar Johnson's from Elkhart, Indiana, by the way. And I'm quite sure of this. Damon Bailey, you remember that name of Hoosier lore? Bailey, like early Bobby, like early 90s.
I think he looks like.
He's one of the more sought after guards coming out of high school. Like he was just like incredible in the Indiana high school scene. So he was in the state title game, and I believe Jamar Johnson was involved in that game. And they filled up like the RCA dome, to watch it. It was that type of game. So Jamar Johnson, obviously in the Danny Nee era, and the game, of course, was against Kansas. I think it was 92. This is what I remember about it. They put it on. It wasn't on television, like on normal television, but ESPN suddenly brought us to the Devaney Center. I was listening on the radio to Kent Pavelka, and they suddenly put it on in the last like second because Nebraska had the ball underneath their basket, and they were going to show us like the Raycom feed of this ending. And it's a quick pass to the corner. Jamar just catches, shoots, and hits it. And the student section just converges on him. And it's one of the best Husker scenes.
The highlight has played no less than, 40 Nebraska basketball games that I've probably been at. It's thrown up there. It definitely ranks up there amongst the most clutch shots in Husker hoops history. I'm now reading about this game that you were referencing that was played in the Indiana State Championship in 1990.
Yep.
So Damon Bailey and Jamar Johnson squared off in a game where 41,000 people are at the Hoosier Dome, most to ever attend a high school basketball game. Bailey scores 30 points of his team's 63, including the final 11 in a 63-60 come from behind win. So not only was it like the anticipation of it was enormous, it also turns out to just be this phenomenal game on top of everything else. I don't know that there's a similarity for Nebraska basketball in recent ones. You've certainly those Bell West Millard North games have lived up to the billing multiple times. And then you go way back. I mean, there's definitely been some Class A tussles in the Devaney Center that were tremendous, but it's always, great when you get that kind of atmosphere and then the game actually lives up to it.
Yeah. And back to the Nebraska Kansas game that he won at the buzzer, I think it was like 71-69. That was like a stretch of time in Husker hoops when Nebraska would just like own Kansas at the Devaney Center. It was funny. Like the Kansas would come in ranked third or fourth, and Nebraska, I mean, they didn't win every year, but they knocked them off quite a few times. Of course, there was a game where they won in front of Dick Vitale, where Terrence Badgett dunked it at the end and stuff like that. So, I that's my wheelhouse years, those early 90s teams. But Jamar Johnson always lives in my head because of that shot. And I remember his arms going up and all that stuff. So great Husker hoops memory.
90% of my Kansas experience is just watching them just pummel Nebraska into pulp and hating every second of it.
Like showing the big up for,
yeah, showing up for a big Monday at noon to get into the red zone for a game that starts at 8 p.m. And Nebraska scores a whopping 11 points, I believe, in the first half.
That was a rough one. I was there. Ryan Anderson sang a good national anthem, though, I believe.
Yeah.
Didn't Ryan Anderson sing the national anthem?
Yeah, probably. That was when he was, you know, your three-point specialist and also the guy doing the anthem and releasing his music albums as well as the season would go along. So those were always very popular, you know, in the dorm rooms at the time. Like he'd be like, making these CDs and handing them out to people like, oh, check out my music kind of thing. I remember that from living in Smith Hall in 2006 and 2007. So that's our Husker Hoops cast for this week. We'll be back next Tuesday. I've already got the player picked out for Brian. Okay. It was the first person I thought of, when this game started. And the great thing about the random Nebraska basketball player is usually if we don't go too deep into the randomness, they almost all have some sort of moment that you can tie them to and then build the clues off of as well.
All right.
Jamar
well,
Johnson,
hopefully I was all right with mine.
Absolutely. I got it. I somehow managed to pull it out of the recesses of my brain, the name of the person who took that shot, even though I never watched it live. But as I said, I've seen it on Nebraska's video board at the Bob Devaney and Pinnacle Bank Arena around 40 to 50 times already. So, all right. For Brian Christofferson, I'm Mike Shaver. Be sure to check out everything we have going on at Husker 24/7. Of course, plenty of football as Black Friday game is drawing near. Nebraska needs to win for bowl eligibility. Lots of recruiting. There is at least one official visitor, but I'm expecting more for the weekend. So we'll have coverage of that at Husker 24/7. High school championships tonight as well. Class A title, Omaha West Side against Elkhorn South. We'll have coverage of that game too. All of that can be found at Husker 24/7. And of course, basketball coverage brought to you by Brian Christofferson and occasionally Mike Shaver as well at Husker 24/7. Brunts too. You know, one of these days we'll let him on the podcast again, but we'll see when he's earned.
Yeah.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.